Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagan, and I have my co-host.
Good morning.
Good evening.
Good afternoon. Dr. J.R. Thicklin here. So glad to be with you today. How are you doing?
I am doing just awesome. I tell you, God has been so good. And, you know, even with all the distractions around, God is yet good. He is yet faithful.
Indeed he is. You know, and every now and then when we stop to just evaluate our lives, we take the time to smell the roses. And one of the few times I did not get to be there with you live and in person, but I want the audience to know that you were honored on this past Saturday with the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award. And this award, listen, you are the first class, amongst the first class, to receive that award up under President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. And what makes this so important in my eyes, Dr. Val, is the fact your body of work over so many years, your body of work, the things that you've done, you're positioning other individuals to get better, to go higher, the things you've done with your Soul of the Woman Foundation, the things that you've done to basically make it very plain and clear to people that their situation doesn't have to be their end. And you've done that because you've lived that. And so I feel great, not only as your friend, not only as your colleague, but I feel great because of the fact the world to a certain degree gets to have a glimpse of understanding that your life has had meaning because you would dare pour into other people. And that's what you've done. You've poured into other people. You've coached other people. You've trained other people. God knows you have deposited and invested in other people in so many ways. And so I want to salute you this evening once again and say congratulations on the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award. And I'm telling you, it is one that is well-deserved. And I mean, kudos. I give a good hand clap. I mean, there are times you see people get recognized for things and you go, huh, what, where? But that's not the case with you. The reality is that you've been on this front line. Well, I mean, you have glory. You've turned pain into power, power into purpose. You have been a launching pad for so many. And it, even in the midst of the things that you've gone through, you have shown some resilience like no other. And because of that, you've inspired others. And I'll tell you this, it's a Lifetime Achievement Award. But I'm going to tell you, people have to look no further than even your children to see the result of what you've been, because your children learn so much from you. And every one of them, if anybody around them, you see this sense of confidence. You see this sense of resilience. You see this sense of knowing that, hey, this is never the end for me. I always have another level to go. And that's what that lifetime achievement is about. You've achieved a lifetime of being able to transform lives. And once again, I salute you, my friend.
Well, thank you, Dr. J. It is such an honor and a privilege to even stand in by your side. You know, Dr. D. Thompson is a phenomenal woman. You know, her purpose is to identify individuals who are out there in the trenches working and doing the work. And I was just so amazed and humbled to be in the room with so many different, the body of work that so many people were doing. And I just kept sitting there saying, God, I know there's more. I got to do more because we're all working. And, you know, kudos out to those that didn't get a reward or get a knowledge, but you're out there working every single day. I have this because of you. I have this because of, and I'm sharing it with all of you who out there working and no one has acknowledged you. I'm sharing it with all my sheroes and their children who lost their lives to domestic violence.
Absolutely.
You know, when I and those families that are homeless, I know what it is to be homeless. I know what it is to be a victim of domestic violence. I know how it is to be molested. I know how all of these things feel. So that's why I work so hard to help empower and bring betterment to individuals' lives, because I've been there, done that. And if they can see me thriving in spite of all I've been through, then they are encouraged to do the same. And that's what it's all about. It's not about me. It's about what God has done through me and the legacy that I want to leave and allow people to look up to know that they could keep on pressing forward and they can master resilience in this unprecedented time. It's hard right now, Dr. J. People are going through. You don't see the long lines where people are looking for food and families don't have medical care and stuff. You don't see that because the news isn't reporting it, but it doesn't mean that it's not going on.
Absolutely. But the main thing you just said there, and that which you demonstrated, was really resiliency, mastering it. Because there's nowhere in life you're going to ever achieve unless you learn to master resiliency. You've got to be resilient, because when you talk about your body of work, when you talk about the fact of knowing what it is to be homeless, knowing what it is to be a victim of domestic violence, knowing what it is to be stuck, knowing what it is not to have, all of those are situations that each of us may face in some form or another. But the key to it is, how do we master resilience? How is it that we learn to be resilient rather than feeling sorry for ourselves? How do we learn to be resilient rather than feeling like, come on, bring on the band. Come on, can we get the pity party? No. There's a mindset that has to happen in order for us to master resiliency. Now, what it doesn't mean that we don't feel bad. It doesn't mean that we don't feel at some point in time a sense of failure or a sense of loss. But what it does mean is that we made up our mind that we refuse to remain there.
Right.
That we refuse to stay there. Too often, people get stuck in their situation because they refuse to change their mind. They're stuck right there on that page, on that chapter, in that sentence, in that paragraph, because they refuse to change their mind. By virtue of the word, when we think about thinking, we have to change our thinking. What does that mean? Thinking, you know what thinking is? It's simply the process of using one's mind to consider or to reason.
Yes.
The process, underline the word process, the process of using one's mind to consider a reason about something. If you never stop to consider a reason about something, if you never stop to envision, to imagine, to realize, to expand my mind from where I am, you will remain where you are. And that alone will create bitterness. That alone will create a sense of stagnation. That alone will create frustration, but you learn to manage that when you begin to think. When you don't allow, watch this, you do not allow the present emotions to put you in bondage. Because when the present emotions can, if you would, arrest your mind, arrest your thought, arrest you in every manner, the frustration comes, and pretty soon you start thinking about, well, nobody came to help me. Mm-hmm. Nobody came to get me out of this. Nobody came. Nobody cares. And now I begin to grow with resentment. Bitterness begin to set in. I'm not mad with everybody as if it's somebody else's fault. And now I'm just stuck where I am. But somewhere along the line, you have to make up your mind. You have to change your thought. You have to change your perspective. You have to come to the conclusion that I'm reason. In other words, I have concluded in my mind that this isn't it for me. I've concluded in my mind that though this current situation finds me here, this is not my permanent address. This is not my permanent situation. And if we can go back to a literary term, a grammatical term, listen, this is not a period behind this situation. It's only a comma. Because yeah, I'm going.
At the end of the day, what you're saying is people need to take ownership of where they are.
Absolutely.
You have to own your space. Yes, I did this. Yes, I was broken. Yes, I messed up. Mm-hmm. But it's time for me to shake off, unzip those grave clothes, pull it off, and then stand up in your power. And that's what people fail to do. They stay wrapped up in a fetal position because their mind is constantly telling them, people are going to look at you funny because you've been this person. And people are going to look at you funny because, you were homeless. You were living in a garage. And look what you're driving. You're always worried about people's opinion instead of taking on the mindset and the nature of God, saying that I'm more than what my eyes can see and I'm looking for greater things. but people succumb to the negative instead of the positive. So that's why they can't master being resilient, because they're always worried about somebody else's stinking thinking instead of embracing what your thoughts are creating, which are to be better. So our lives and our finances are based on our ability to think. So what are we thinking about? What are we doing about the situation that we're in? We just can't sit down and say, well, you know, reminded by the story in the Bible where Jesus asked this man if he wanted to be made whole. And he was like, you know, I go into the pool and dip. And he said, well, I don't have nobody to come and drop me in the pool. And they said, will thou be made whole? So you have to do something about it. You have to act like you want something different than what you're experiencing right now. So nobody can change or cause that shift in you until you shift it in yourself, shift it in your mind, create and embrace a larger vision of yourself.
And you're exactly right. That's the type of thinking that will lift us up from where we are. Because when we start thinking about the thinking process to get out of situation, to come out of a situation, there are basically two categories of thinking. There's what we call divergent thinking. And what divergent thinking does is that in your mind, you imagine, watch this, generating possibilities, alternative solution. In other words, I made up in my mind, this is impermanent. See, even when we have temporary failure, we have to declare failure isn't permanent.
This is not my address. This is a temporary situation.
I refuse to allow failure to write an epitaph on my life. I refuse to allow this current situation to cause me to totally frame my life as if I can't go anywhere. So when we have divergent thinking, the mind itself is looking for a way to come up with possible alternatives, possibilities that can be there in order for what? Me to come out of what I am. And the second type of thinking is called convergent thinking. And what convergent thinking will do is take those possibilities and alternatives that I now have come up with, and they begin to do this, begin to map them out and say, okay, now how do I prioritize this? Because I'm coming out. Dinah Ross tried to tell us. She said, I'm coming out. I want the world to know. And that is what we have to do. Rather than looking for the world to feel sorry for us, we have to make up our mind that I'm coming out. And when we are people of faith, it goes a little deeper. It is the fact that we understand that we're not stuck, because the fact we believe in one who is omniscient. That means he knows all things. He's declared I am from the very beginning. So if he knows all things, he's declared I am from the beginning. Guess what? He's already in our tomorrow. So guess what? He ain't fretting about tomorrow, because he already knows that you come out. You just got to figure out and accept the fact I'm coming out. This is not the end. Yeah. When we change our thinking there and be willing to go through the process, and that's where we started. Everything about life, we must understand it's a process.
When
we're hurt, we go through a grieving process. That means that we allow ourselves to go through the thing, whether it's reflections, whether it's memories, whether it's identification, whether it's reconciliation to certain things. It is the process. What is the process? It is the step-by-step plan or stages that we go through in order to achieve or arrive at an expected end. But if there's no expectation, then there is no growth. If there's no expectation, there is no elevation. If there's no expectation, there is no revelation. If there's no expectation, there's no application. And we've got to shift what we're thinking. We got to shift from where we are, because it's easy to pull out that pity party, blowing a pity party thing. It is easy. You'll start feeling sorry for yourself. You'll start saying, woe is me. Nobody care about me. She owed me 50 cents from the third grade. Everybody taking advantage of me. And we start rehearsing things that is nothing more than toxic thoughts. Toxic thought. That's why the power of forgiveness and letting go things is so critical inside of us being able to get up from where we are. Most people keep themselves down because they're holding on to things that they should have let go. It was Ralph Waldo Emerson that says, what lies behind me, that's the past, baby, and what lies before me are tiny matters compared to what lies within me. Baby, you can have a Polaroid of what I was in my past, but it has nothing to do with my present and where I'm going in my future.
Absolutely. Now, what you said is powerful. You know, when I said you have to take ownership of where you are and how you got there. I think that is the foundation for anyone to springboard on, because once you acknowledge where you are and how you got there, then you know not to go back in that spot again. And it is a process. It is a process. When I went through my transition, I was in a, it seemed like I was in this cloud and I just couldn't get out. But I didn't just not do nothing. I just kept moving. I just kept going forward because I knew that I wanted better than where I was. Yes. In order for me to get better than where I was, I knew, number one, I needed resources. So I had, you know, I was always good at getting jobs. You know, my wealth is based on my ability to think, my actions, and I'm a doer. I'm like, okay, I know how to generate money. So I started moving forward. I said, anywhere I got to go, I know I need money to get there. So I started that process. I took a job. You know, some people, they don't want to take jobs that they feel are beneath them because they have certain degrees and they're like, oh, I can't do this because I got my doctorate, I got my bachelor's, I got my master's, I can't be doing this. But fortunately for me, the jobs that I did get, because I went and searched out, I had jobs that people that had master's degrees had, and I just had a high school diploma. And I was administrative to secretaries, and God gave me such favors that all of my bosses during the time that I was walking through the cloud were Jewish. Wow. And they taught me business. And, you know, I started at minimum wage because I didn't know anything, but because they were willing to teach me, after I learned what they taught me, then they increased my pay. So I got paid what I was worth. They found value in me and they paid me what I was worth. And so much so to one of the jobs I had, Dr. J, I mastered that job. I was the assistant to the president of the company and I knew all the operations in and out of that company. But then he got older and wanted to retire and he said, Valerie, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I guess I'll have to look for another job. He says, do you like what you're doing now? I said, yes. And he says, okay. He says, well, I'm going to set you up and I'm going to pay your rent on this office building for a whole year. And I'm going to pay you your salary so you won't be at a loss. And from there, you should be able to springboard. And Dr. J, I hadn't worked a job since because the opportunity that he blessed me with, who would have given me a job, paid me for the job, paid for my office, paid for my licenses, because I didn't know how to do nothing. He paid for my trademark. So I still have the trademark, Faithfully Yours, because he paid for it. It's mine. Nobody can get it. But I springboard onto it because the more I learned about business, the more I evolved. And guess what? I didn't have to worry about shifting friends or, you know, my associations. And see, that's another thing. People don't want to shift and they don't want to leave their past to embrace their future. It doesn't mean that you don't like a person or y'all have fallen out. It just means that your alignment is shifted for where you need to go. And you have to let go so that you can go for the greater good. And then you can still bless those people that you left behind, which I've always done. Bless individuals and help try to pull them. But guess what? Pulling people will make you exhausted. You know how a horse has pulling a trailer with just a buggy. And then when people in it, it gets even heavier. Absolutely. You're going to have to cut that loose and say, hey, I'm too old to pull the buggy and the people. So that's what it's going to be. You're going to have to let something go. And sometimes you have to release your past. You have to, and your past means freeing up your mind for where you've been, freeing up and forgiving where you've been. I took a while to forgive the fact that I was in a domestic violence situation, marriage for 19 years. It took me a long time to forgive where I was. Because I kept saying, you know, people will say, if it was me, I wouldn't have stayed that long. I don't know how you could have stayed in a situation that long. Well, you can't see the picture when you're in the frame. So when you're in the midst of a situation, you in a fog, it's cloudy, you can't see. And any straws that you're able to grasp or any breath of air you're able to take, you try and internalize it so that you can breathe and live another day. You know, my daughter wrote a book, Give It Another Day. And it is hard. You have to give it another day. I know it may be hard. I know it may be rough not right now, but you have to press forward with resilience, knowing that if you keep moving, the sun is going to shine again. See, it's just like walking through a storm, a summer storm. You ever, I was raised partly in the country, and first time I ever saw it, because, you know, I was raised in New York, but then I went to South Carolina and did some schooling there. And yes, I remember sitting on my grandmother's porch and it was pouring down rain, but across the street, not even just like where I could, but directly in front of me, the sun was shining and everything was dry. And that's how it is with our lives. If we just could make it through to the other side, everything is going to be all right. You know, the enemy always comes to steal, kill, and destroy to make you feel like everything is over, that there is no other side, that there is no light to the end of the tunnel. The grass isn't greener on the other side. But yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because God has need of you. And, you know, I'm glad that I got the award, because I was, you know, you do a lot of work in the trenches, just like you, Dr. Jack. And, you know, it's like people don't see the little guy that's actually working. They acknowledge the big corporations and people that got all these millions of dollars. But you know what? A little means much when you're transforming somebody's life.
You know, Dr. Bell, what you basically gave was your testimony. And it was the perfect blueprint to those that are facing certain adversities in their lives. Here's the thing about it. And I'm so glad that you pointed out the point that there are certain things that we go through that in order for us to go forward, sometimes we have to go back.
You have to.
And so here's the jobs that you had, and you go, wow, the jobs start off minimum wage and things like that. However, you in your mind knew that those jobs would not be permanent. They were a means to an end. They were a means to an end. With every means that we get through, means are nothing more than stages of accessibility. It's a means to an end. So you knew that in order to get to where you wanted to go and needed to go, this was a means. You had to start there. But in starting there, it opened up other opportunities to you. Why? Because what was really inside of you, the treasure that was really inside of you, the abilities, the talents, those things that were buried inside of you had to be unlocked. They could have never been unlocked any other place than what you went through at the time that you did. Because what it did is expanded your capacity. Watch this. Yeah. It expanded your capacity. Sometimes when we go through adversity, it's nothing more than God's assignment in order to expand our capacity. You know, a lot of folks quote Jabez, enlarge my territory. Now that sounds real good, cute. I mean, real
sounds good.
But enlarging your territory, meaning there has to be a stretching. There has to be an expanding that happened with you.
And what do you want your territory enlarged with? That's the
exactly.
other thing.
Exactly. And here's the thing about it. I do know this as being a father of five biological kids. I know that there's an expanding that happens with every woman that is pregnant. She's not still Miss Flat Belly, because something inside of her is being buried. So it has to be expanded. So when you went through your process, guess where it took you? It took you both in a place of humility, but humility had to come before he could elevate you. He placed you then in the right place around the right people, and those individuals saw the result of you not only being willing to go deeper. Guess what? We're told about the arrow. The arrow, the bow and arrow. The arrow has no strength, has no ability to propel or to excel until it's first drawn back. It doesn't just propel itself. It must be drawn back. When we are facing adversity in our life, sometimes what we must do is step back, assess the situation, process in our mind. Divergent thinking, the alternative solution. Convergent thinking, being able to align those things. Now get ready to go through the process, the act, the stages, the plan that will lead us to an expected end. What is the process? We have to understand, even now, we're all in process. What is the process? Process is that thing that which is happening while something is happening. In other words, until I get to the expected end, I'm inside of the process. We have to be patient enough to allow the process to work. What do you mean? You haven't got there? Think about it. You didn't arrive at the situation that you're in instantly.
Sure didn't.
There's situations that came up. So the process is the ability to recognize that something that is happening while something is happening that will get me to the expected end. Our thinking has to be changed. That means that the way we think, watch this. We don't think for pity. We don't think to draw empathy. We think in order to grow whole. We use our mind to think that we may grow whole. The man that you talked about that you referenced in the Bible, all those years he had been there, all those years carrying a bed, carrying a bed over his head, all those years, I mean, laying there, laying. And one question was asked, will thou be made whole? And what did he do? He started rehearsing everything he's always said. Well, you know, I would be, but I can't. Well, you know, every time, and he gave every excuse. He nurtured his excuses. He nurtured his path. Whatever you nurture and rehearse, that's what grows in your life. When you start rehearsing the fact that I will get up, this is not permanent, this is temporary, I'm coming up out of it, it changes the dynamic. The process begins to work when you begin to work it. So when you say taking ownership of your own healing, taking ownership of your own rescue, you've got to do so. There's some time that we just say, God, just come and get us out. And God said, no, I've given you the ability to get out, so I need you to do what? I need you to change the way that you're thinking. Change your thinking. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to take if you would, the lid off your mind. Some people are in chains, but the change is not on their feet, it's on their mind. Take the chain off your brain, John Henry, because as long as the chain is on your brain, you're not moving. So the process is so important inside of where we're going. We have to think to grow whole. We have to think to grow whole. We have to think to get to that place where we need to. We have to think. Then, in order to get there, we have to have a hunger for wisdom and understanding. Some people are no longer hungry anymore. They've grown apathetic in the midst of their struggle, in the midst of their adversity. They've already thrown the white flag. They've already said it's over. And I'm telling you, you got to develop a hunger. You got to develop a hunger for wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. And that's what comes out of that convergent, that divergent thinking, the convergent thinking. Then now the wisdom is there. The hunger for what? Wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. It would have mattered not all that you went through had not you obtained wisdom out of that situation. The wisdom. You're not giving yourself a trophy because the fact that you lived in somebody's garage. You're not giving yourself a trophy because you drove a car that was like the Flintstone. You've been rewarded because the result of what you did when you changed your thinking in the midst of it, that catapulted you to a whole different place. Now everybody sees the result of your capacity being enlarged, the result of the fact that you refused to just remain where you were. You was elevated, you were promoted, and as a result, the revelation that you've gotten, you have put it inside of books, you have put it inside of folks' lives, and so therefore, guess what? You didn't remain the same. There was a paradigm shift in your own life. And as a result of it, you've changed other lives. That's what it's really all about when you begin to master resiliency. Master. And that's why when you encounter other adversities, you've encountered other challenges. Why are you able to get through them? Because you've seen the blueprint. You live the blueprint and coming out of it. And there's something inside of you that won't let you be defeated. There's something inside of you that says, I can't go back there. There's something inside of you because once again, what lies behind you and what lies before you are tiny matters compared to what lies within you. So if we stop looking at our future as being some great big obstacle ahead and start looking at our future as a great big opportunity ahead is shift where we're going.
You know, I think one of the reasons why people are stuck is because they don't want to go back to school. You know, they don't want to go back to learning a new
exactly.
thing from what they're already doing. You have to start reading books on people who have made it to encourage you to go forward and make it as well. If you want that business, you have to read, and there's so much on YouTube now that you can learn from individuals, people that have made it, success stories. Follow their blueprint and then find out how you can make it better. You don't have to mimic them, but you can pull from them to get a jolt of knowledge and wisdom to go to the next level. There's nothing new under the sun, right? We always say there's nothing new under the sun. But until you actually venture out to see what's out there, you stay in your little bubble, you won't know what's out there. You won't know how to shift. You won't know how to change your dance partners. You won't know how to stop breaking your leg over and over to keep you from walking to the next side because you're dragging that leg, and dragging that leg is so heavy till you can't move to the other side. You keep talking about and thinking about, oh, my leg is broken, instead of saying, I got one good leg and I'm going to make it work. Changing that mindset, change your thoughts, change your habits. I'm not going to sit and watch TV, reality TVs of somebody living their dreams and acting a fool, and I'm sitting here trying to figure out what my dream is. You have to change your thinking. You have to embrace a larger vision of yourself and participate in your own life. You have to participate in the breath that you're taking. A lot of people are just laying in, they're sitting down breathing, but on oxygen, just pacing because they're not doing anything. But God wants us to do better. And that's why he's allowed us to still be here, because we have the opportunity to shift and do better, shift and help, especially those of you that are parents. You ought to want better for your children. And please, you know, Dr. J, one of the things that grieves me, oh my God, is to see these young mothers and just dragging these little kids and calling them bees and holes and all that, you know, and in this and bees this. And that, I mean, to their young boys and their young girls, and yet when they expect them to grow up differently, thinking about themselves, they expect them to be law-abiding citizens. When you're dragging them by their hair and calling them bees, and the young men talking about you in that, but yet you want other races to treat us better when we don't treat ourselves right. We need to do better ourselves in order to get better.
You know, what you speak of once again goes back to a frame of mind. And it's a frame of mind when a person does not have a positive vision of themselves. And oftentimes when a person don't know who they are, why they are, and for what purpose which they live, they generally abuse it. Because the fact, if you don't know where you're going, you probably end up anywhere. And anywhere for many people is a place of nothingness. It's a place of anger. It's a place of jealousy. It's a place of perpetual disappointment. It's a place of perpetual regret. And that perpetual regret is there simply because of the fact I've never framed my mind to see myself any differently. So we talked about a process before. Well, the opposite of process is regress. Process is the steps that we take. Regress is what we fall back to. And so when we see whether it's young mothers or young fathers who are so bitter and anger and filled with rancor that they're calling name, and they forget about their mouth that has a ready writer, their pen, the mouth, and life and death is in the power of their tongue. So now they are spewing this on the child, the next generation. You stupid. You're not this. You're not that. You little so-and-so and so. Don't make me. I'll jack you up, you little so-and-so and everything like that. Don't mess with you. You got the right one to day, and all they are doing is projecting on that child their own sense of emptiness, their own sense of misdirection, their own sense of lack of purpose, their own sense of hurt, and all of that is being transferred there. How dare you drown out this child's ability to even have dreams, hope? How do you dare you drown out the sense of expectation with those type of words? We must understand. I often tell parents when I'm doing parent seminars, I'm often telling parents, do not limit your child to your experience. Mm. Don't limit your child to your experience, because you've got the opportunity to change the village around your child. You've got the opportunity to change the conversation around your child. You have the opportunity to change the scenery around your child, because that's part of it. The atmosphere. What is the environment like? There are three levels of environment and atmosphere. There's an environment within an environment within an environment. What do you mean? We all may live, if you would, we may all live in a certain part of town. We may all live in Tamarack. Okay, well, we share that one city, but also within Tamarack, we may all live on Northeast 22nd Street. That's the second level. However, we also have another level there, not only on Northeast 22nd Street, but my particular address, what happens inside of that house, it might be completely different with what's happening next door, what's happening in the outer parts. Why? Because my environment, my inner environment, has the ability to change my outward environment. However, when we don't get a hold of that and we don't know where we're going, we generally allow our outer environment to change our inner environment. When we're able to, if you would, focus and be able to get our inner environment to a place of peace, to a place of prosperity, to a place of posterity, to a place of lift, when we're able to get there, it changes the dynamic of everything. So don't give me, well, I grew up. You know, some people glorify growing up in the hood as if it's a badge of honor. And I understand it to a certain degree, but I'm not about to glorify my worst experience. What I am going to say is that I was brought
and
up
and perpetrated the hood, on the children.
But I came out of the hood. What brought me out of the hood? I changed my thinking. My environment changed. The things inside of me. I wanted more. I realized I deserved more. I realized that the best way I can help the hood is to get out of it. My best way to help the hood is to be able to be in a position to be able to give back to it, not to become, if you would, a permanent resident of it. And that's what has happened. Many times, even when people leave physically, it is still in their mind. So although they left 22nd Street, 22nd Street is still in them, because they have not changed what? The internal environment. That is what is so important. As parents, as mentors, as teachers, as instructors, as legacy and path blazers and those things there, we have to recognize that we're always having to shape the environment of people. And that brings us to another thing, Dr. Val. It's very simple. When a person doesn't understand purpose in their lives, they cannot understand assignment in their lives.
Wow, that is true.
When they can't understand purpose, they can't understand assignment. They don't understand what they've been assigned to. So they will live their life filled with regret. You know, it's interesting. When we look at Jim Rohn put it this way. He said, in life that we will all have two constant pains, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. But he said the difference is that the pain of discipline weighs ounces, while the pain of regret weighs tons. What was he saying? He's saying that we have to understand there's going to always have to be discipline alive. Discipline is never easy. However, discipline, the pain of it weighs ounces, while the pain of regret weighs tons. It's nothing like living in woulda, shoulda, coulda-ville. Woulda, coulda, shoulda-ville weighs tons when we look at it. But the reality is, had I just been disciplined enough to do those other things, those first things first, it would have prepared me for the lift. I'm now stretching for the lift. Most people live their lives, but they've never been prepared for the lift. Therefore, life itself seems like a great weight to them. It's a great weight because they have refused to get in the process of discipline. Discipline is part of a process. Once again, the stages that we go through that prepares us for an expected end. What are you saying? I'm not parked. When you see me, you will never catch me parked, because I'm always moving. I'm inside of the process. I'm on my way somewhere. That is the reason why that people can't put their hand on you, because of the fact I'm always moving. I'm not where I am. Matter of fact, Dr. Val, there's a salutation that people often say when they haven't seen you in a while. They go, hey, look at you. You haven't changed a bit. That's not a compliment to me. No. If you tell me I haven't changed a bit, oh, man, what have I not done? Because I ought to be better than where you last saw me. Ought to be somewhere sharper than where you last saw me. You should not be able to pick up on the same stanza in the song. It's so hard out here. 5 years later, every time I see you, you got the same song.
Same song.
Something that happens when you begin to recognize who you are, when you begin to master resiliency, when you become inspired by life rather than defeated by life, when you become inspired by living. I am come that you may have life and life more abundantly. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God, the God that is more than enough, the one who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can act, think, or imagine. So I'm inspired by life rather than, if you would, defeated by life. I'm inspired by life because life speaks to me possibilities. Life speaks to me that there's an expected end. Life speaks to me that, in other words, it's a canvas. It's a whole canvas. And somewhere along the line, I have been created to be able to paint my way, paint my part on this canvas. Most people haven't discovered their canvas. Therefore, they can't even imagine life. They don't have a brush in their hand because of the fact they have not become disciplined. And I'm saying tonight that people can get up from where they are. You can change your mindset, even beginning right now tonight. You don't have to make it a stop sign, baby. Listen here, there's a yellow sign, not a red one. The yellow just says yield. Now you can proceed. You can proceed with caution to the next phase of where you are because of that. If you can shift your mind, you can shift your thought. If you can shift your thought, you can shift where you are. Your frame of mind, this your stage of mind, that's what you've got to be able to change. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind needs to be renewed. Take it off that stuck record. Get rid of that tape recorder that has spoken nothing but defeat, reminded you of every failure, keep telling you about your limitation, your learned helplessness. It's time to get up and move forward. And that's how we master resiliency. We have to master by that. We have to be courageous. We have to have courageous vision.
You can master resiliency by working for those things you need, not the things that you
want. Absolutely.
And a lot of times people are stressed out because they're trying to live this image. They got to have this big flamboyant house. They got to have this name brand car that when it breaks down, they can't fix it because it costs $500 just to get an oil change and a tune-up. So, you know, that's where the weight and depression comes on, is they can't live up to expectations of others. But what are your expectations for yourself? Once you master the expectations of what you envision for yourself, things will go a whole lot smoother for you. And it will go right for your children and your children's children. Get those things that you need first. And as you grow and develop, then you can expand your borders and get those things that you want. But a lot of times people put the cart before the horse. They have the cart pulling the horse because they're like, they get this big old $200,000 home when they're only making $30,000 a year and knowing they can't afford to keep it up. And then they want these big old houses and they don't consider with the houses that you gotta have lights, you want a pool, but you gotta manage that pool. You want the house, but you gotta furnish the house. You gotta consider your water bill. You want 5 bathrooms, that means more water. So people don't consider that with the wants. You know, they, instead of keeping in line with those things they need, they have those things and everything is going all fine and dandy. And then when recession hits and you can't afford to keep those lights on, you be like, turn them lights off. I know I used to tell my kids all the time, turn those lights off. Don't turn the AC off. Turn the AC off. And we'd be sweating all through the day because, and I said, you know, because I wanted to keep the bill down. But in reality was, if I kept it at a certain temperature, which I wasn't enlightened on, that if you keep it on a certain temperature, it won't cost that much or pull that much on the electricity and make it higher. So knowledge is power. So the things you know and learn to do, do it and do it better. That way it won't come back to bite you later because of the fact that your understanding was limited.
And you said a mouthful, because once again, when you start talking about commitment, you got to be commit. You got to be commitment, but you got to have a commitment to what? To excellence. Stop half doing things all the time. Focus on doing one thing well. Do that thing well enough that it will elevate you to the next thing there. Yes, to whom much is given, much is also required. Going back to what you're saying, if I have a commitment to excellence, if I have a commitment within my vision, I then must be willing to work it out and apply myself. I have to know what my vision is. Do I even know what my vision is, or am I just doing it because everybody, I think everybody else is doing it? But what other folks don't tell you is oftentimes, what is the upkeep?
What
does that take? What is those things there? What does it take?
Can I afford the maintenance?
Exactly, the maintenance. And so many times what happens is that we find people that they get things, but they're not able to maintain it, because the maintenance requires, once again, discipline, understand the operations of it, the infrastructure of it, that it may be able to continue. And so when we don't consider that, guess what happened? It takes nothing but one pebble in the road to upset the apple cart. We're better than that. We've got to move beyond that. We have to understand the fact that there come times that, listen, that we have to say, look, God, show me. I don't want my desire. You know, that it's funny. The book of books tells us, says that, you know, blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after, for they shall be filled. But this is the other scripture I love that fits this so much. It talks about the thing about seek ye first the kingdom. So what? Seek the plan, seek the vision, and all these other things that will be added to you. Seek wisdom, seek knowledge, and all.
Say
these
that again, Dr. J. The kingdom is what? The plan and what?
Yeah, there you go. This is the plan. It's the process. It is the vision. It is the goal. When we seek that, and we now have that, we can now begin to look, seek after now wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and move inside of it. We can begin to do that. Here's the thing about it. This is what I love so much when I think about yourself, Dr. Val. It wasn't your goal to try to make a statement for others to say, oh, look at her. But rather, it was a statement that you needed to make to yourself, to your children. It was a statement that you need to make and saying that, listen here, failure is not permanent, and neither is failure an option. Never let failure be your option. Will we fail? Yes. But failure should never start off as being your option. And failure is never permanent. We have to ask ourselves a question. No matter how much adversity we go through, no matter how many setbacks we go through, the last time that you fail, did you fail because you stopped trying, or did you stop trying because you failed? Very simple.
And we have to stop settling too, even with relationships. Yeah. We'll get into a relationship that we know is going to be toxic and not good for us, but because we want somebody, we want a piece of something instead of the whole pie. And absolutely, we need to change our thinking with that too, because that will set us back emotionally, mentally, and physically, because it takes a toll on your bodies. Don't settle even in a relationship. Do you know it was 19 years before I got married again? And I never stopped hoping that I would find Mr. Right, but I wasn't searching him out like that. What I was doing, and then he came, but I wasn't searching every day. Oh, I gotta have me a husband. Oh, when is he coming? God, I gotta have me a man. No, I was handling my business so that when he came, I was prepared and ready for him. Because a lot of times we haven't gone through pulling back the layers of our hurt and our pain in order to receive the greater good that God has for us.
We have to strengthen what we have.
Yes.
We have to strengthen what we have before we can join ourselves to someone else. We have to strengthen what we have, because we have to make sure, are we looking for a relationship or are we looking for a rescuer? What were we looking for? A relationship? Are we looking for someone?
That's powerful. Most of the time it's a rescuer.
Exactly. So rescue you from what? Rescue you from mistakes that you're still making? Rescue you from repeated actions that you continue to do? Rescue you from toxic thinking? Rescue? No. That is the area that you need to work on yourself. Because when we then get into a relationship, I'm talking about really a relationship, now you've given up your mind, you've given up your spirit, you've given up your soul. There's an emotional exchange that goes there. There's a weight that goes with that, because true relationship requires a certain vulnerability. That means it requires you allowing someone into a space that you otherwise have kept covered, that you otherwise have protected. And now when I allow you in, and I allow you in, if I allow you in from a wrong perspective, I'm allowing you in once again, because either I'm looking for you to come rescue me, or am I allowing you in because of the fact you're safe to allow in. Wow. It's not always safety. People are not always looking at safety. They're looking at that rescue. What can you do for me?
What can you do for me?
What can you do for me? And the reality
is, you pay my bills?
Yeah. What can you, but you know what? It's so interesting, because really, I think from a male's perspective, I would say it like this. From a male's perspective, it is important for me to know what I bring to the table. Mm. It's important for me to know what I'm able to bring to the table. Listen, I tell you, like Peter and John, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give it to thee. Listen here, I'll change your mindset. I'll elevate your thinking. I'll elevate your consciousness. I'll elevate your sense of purpose about who you are, that you may get a frame and a right vision of who you are. Honey, if you ever realize who you are, you'll be dangerous. But your problem is that it's been your thinking. You think it's been a bad man, but it's been your thinking. You think it's been a bad break, but it's been your thinking. Your vision of yourself has been clouded, and now what's happening, you get involved with folks that don't have a vision either. And the only thing you can hope to do is be rescued. The greatest thing I could ever do is cause you to have a greater consciousness of yourself.
Wow.
A greater consciousness of who you are. A greater realization of what your possibilities are. See, if you've been reduced nothing to breasts and hips and breasts and fingertips and stuff like that, then guess what? That's what you allow yourself to be, a meat factory. But when you understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, when you understand that there is a level of excellence that's inside of it, when you recognize that you got something to offer, that you have wisdom, you are born to be a multiplier, sister. Yeah. You was called to be able to multiply the vision. In other words, listen, when Brahman stepped to you and everything like that, it ought to be so, listen, I can multiply what you got, bro. Whatever you got, I can make it more. Inside of that, and as a man, I come say, listen, I can expand your territory. I can enroll where you are. I can expand your capacity. Now we get together, we talk about expanding some things. Now we're about to shift things. Why? Because we're not making it selfish about us. Notice it's saying about the other person.
It's saying we.
Yeah.
We're going to the next level.
There you go. And that's what's important. So once again, when we start talking about master resiliency, part of master resiliency is to deal with our past. To deal with those past hurts, to deal with those past pains, to deal with those past disappointment, to deal with those past failures. Don't allow your failures of your past to cripple your future. Don't allow them to hold you in bondage, because if you allow them to hold you in bondage, you're going to be in bondage a long time. And guess what happened? And if you don't get healed, you're going to keep looking for somebody to come rescue you.
Yes.
Rescue me. Yes, rescue me. Aren't you tired of being a damsel in distress? Aren't you tired of just being a damsel out looking for my knight in shining armor? Baby, you're going to keep living in the night until you get a better vision of yourself. You're going to keep living in the night looking for a knight until you get a better vision of yourself. And you've got to see that. Don't allow your past to rob you of where you're going. Listen to me. There are things I have gone through, and I don't care what nobody says. Well, look like you can't get it right. Yes, I can get it right. As a matter of fact, that's the very state that I continue to move on, that I'm not stuck. The fact that I continue to rise up, it's my resiliency. The fact that I realize that my failure is not permanent. The thing I realize, I still have a healthy vision of myself because I know in whom I believe. I know what's a part of me. I know what I've been called to do. I know that this isn't it. Baby, listen, you have not seen nothing yet. I just got to celebrate a birthday. The next chapter of my life is open, and I'm ready to go to the next place that I'm going. And I'm telling you now, watch out, because if you get in the way, you may get ran over, because I don't have time to stop because I'm on my way up, because my mind is made up. I'm on my way up, and I'm holding my head up.
That's powerful. Dr. J, how can people reach you and be connected with you?
They can find us. Our website is www.jrfitton.com. You can always, you can email me, manofpurpose2000@gmail.com.
Wow, manofpurpose2000.
You will find it. Created with purpose, for purpose, and on purpose, manofpurpose2000@gmail.com. And if you just like to reach me, got to reach me, area code 561-439-3145. That's the office number, but it'll reach me every time.
Okay. We don't want women calling you and you can't even get work done because of the fact that they're calling you.
Listen here. Everything has
they
to be.
They want the Man of Purpose 2000.
Well, we compartmentalize what we do. All right? We got there's a time for everything.
That's www.jrthicklin.com. You know, I'm so excited, you know, about our next chapter. We're getting to that place called there. And those of you that follow us, you know, thank you so much for doing that and share the broadcast. We both have YouTube channels. So if you would just join us on YouTube, select that, click that link so you can know when we're doing something on YouTube. I greatly appreciate that too. And also you can visit my website, FromTheSoulOfAWoman.com. That's FromTheSoulOfAWoman.com. And my book, Unlimited Possibilities, Walking in Purpose. If you want to know more about me and how I started from the beginning to where I am now, that book will give you an insight, a glimpse into my world. So Unlimited Possibilities, Walking in Purpose. And of course, my signature book, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Should Hurt. It is still my bestseller. You can download it and read through it, and then that will allow you to embrace a larger vision of yourself to know if she can do it, you can do it too. So follow us on all social medias, and don't forget to reach out and, you know, Dr. J's website, www.jrthicklin.com. Dr. J, leave some pearls of wisdom for our listening audience.
Well, absolutely. What I want our listeners to realize is this. We all go through. Life is filled with going through. But make up your mind that whatever you're going through, it cannot last. It did not come to stay. It only came to pass. If you're willing to grow through what you go through, nothing will stop you because you're always arriving and you're never just stagnant. That's what you have to remember.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that, Dr. J. I appreciate you. And next week, this time, join us 8 p.m. We have some more guests coming on. And what is this? Domestic violence, cancers. What other awareness is it?
Coming up in October, we'll be entering a dual month, both breast cancer awareness and domestic violence. But you know what? Throughout the year, right about now, we're dealing with hurt. We're dealing with the pandemic, we're dealing with, if you would, all kind of morbidities that are happening in our lives and health determinants. But what we do know is this, is that there's a way out of everything that we face.
And we are doing these shows of empowerment to inspire you to, no matter where you are right now, that there's always tomorrow where you can, if Les Brown says, if you can look up, you can get up. So get up and get off that seat and get it moving, because the world is waiting on you and you need to tap into your greater self. And the only way you can do that is get up out of that bed, pull that cover off from off your head, open that front door and walk out and see the sunshine. I'm in Florida, so I see the sunshine. Y'all can open up and see the snow or just feel the breeze of the wind upon your face. Just do that. And we'll see you next week, this same time on Hot Topics from the Soul. Good night and God bless.